A suspect is in custody after an incendiary device was thrown outside a federal building in New York City this Monday morning. According to the FBI, a former U.S. Army soldier is accused of setting off fireworks, starting a fire, and shooting a pellet gun towards the building, which houses an immigration court and other federal offices. Andrew Atabaka, a former mechanic for Patriot Missiles, was tackled by a security officer and taken into custody around 8:20 a.m. as flames erupted outside the entrance to 26 Federal Plaza. The building has become a focal point for protests against the Trump administration's immigration policies. James Barnicle, head of the FBI's New York field office, said the 43-year-old suspect was, quote, armed with bad intentions.
He ignited gasoline. He poured gasoline onto the ground. It ignited it with a lighter and an incendiary device. That device was a large firework in a canister that proceeded to catch on fire, pretty big flame as you've seen on the internet. He then pulled out an airsoft rifle and fired 5 to 7 pellets, if you will, in the direction of 26 Federal Plaza. At that time, Federal Protective Services, 2 officers, a gray suit, a contractor with Allied that is employed to guard this building, and those 3 people and the 2 officers standing behind me in the blue shirts are the officers that intervened and took Mr. Atabaka into custody.
New York City Police Commissioner Jessica Tisch said a sign attached to his cart read, quote, "Ice off our streets," close quote, and that the suspect was wearing a military-style helmet. Barnicle described Atabaka as an extremist.
We take this very seriously. On his cart, he had a cart. He had anti-ICE literature on it. When he was being arrested, he yelled derogatory terms to ICE, used bad words, obviously. He is an anti-American, anti-government extremist. We know that from what he said. We know that from what he has said post-arrest. And we know that from what his actions that he tried to take today.
The Department of Homeland Security says a bystander was grazed by the fireworks, while the security officer who tackled the suspect was also injured. The fire department says one person was taken to the hospital with injuries that were non-life-threatening. Barnicle said the injured civilian was an immigrant scheduled to attend a hearing Monday. New York City Mayor Zohran Mamdani called the incident deeply disturbing and said that he would support the federal investigation. Federal law makes intentionally causing more than $1,000 in damage to government property a felony, punishable up to 10 years in prison. The incident could also be investigated as domestic terrorism if authorities believe the alleged violence was intended to intimidate civilians or influence government policy. However, charges against the suspect have not yet been announced. On Friday, a federal judge ordered sweeping reforms at California's Adelanto Ice Processing Center in San Bernardino County. U.S. District Judge Sunshine Sykes granted a preliminary injunction after finding that detained immigrants were likely to prevail on claims that conditions at the facility violated their constitutional and disability rights. The order requires ICE to provide clean drinking water, nutritious food, adequate medical care, sanitation, and disability accommodations. It also mandates independent monitoring while the lawsuit proceeds. The allegations that detainees at Adelanto had been denied those basic human necessities is what triggered a hunger and commissary strike that has been ongoing, nearing its 2nd month. The Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights, or CHURLA, called the ruling a major victory for accountability, but added, quote, "The fight isn't over," close quote. The Department of Homeland Security maintains that detainees are provided with proper food, water, and comprehensive medical care. The Adelanto Ice Processing Center is operated by the private prison contractor Geo Group and receives millions of taxpayer dollars each year to detain immigrants on behalf of the federal government. The company's recent earnings call boasted unprecedented gains, which they attribute to the president's immigration crackdown. Since the start of President Trump's second term, 5 people have died while in ICE custody at Adelanto, or shortly after being transferred from the facility. At least 13 people have died in connection with Adelanto since it opened, making it one of the deadliest ICE detention centers in the country. Over the years, detainees, advocates, and medical professionals have documented serious concerns at the facility, including delayed medical treatment, unsanitary conditions, inadequate access to hygiene products, barriers to communicating with attorneys and family members, and deaths that even ICE has deemed preventable. In other ICE-related news, dozens of Democratic senators are demanding more information about Immigration and Customs Enforcement's vetting of new agents and its policies governing vehicle stops and pursuits. They're also calling for body cameras to be quickly issued to all officers. Former Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem previously promised to expand the use of body cameras. But despite the $20 million in funding for the equipment, cameras have not been issued to all agents. The demands were outlined in a letter by Maine's independent Senator Angus King and signed by 38 Democrats and sent to the Department of Homeland Security, which oversees ICE. Last week, reports revealed that the ICE officer who fatally shot a Colombian man in Maine had been accused of violent behavior towards family members, allegations detailed in family court records. Both of the officer's former wives questioned how he was qualified to join ICE in the first place, as court records documented alleged years of abuse and domestic violence. The ICE officer in question, David Brulette, called the allegations slanderous. However, multiple family members told the Associated Press that the government should never have given him a gun, a badge, or the authority to patrol city streets. As a result, the senators are seeking new accountability measures, including clarity about whether ICE considers family court records involving domestic violence or abuse when evaluating recruits. The senator's letter reads in part, quote, "We remain supportive of removing dangerous convicted criminals from our communities, but this goal can and must be achieved without endangering these very communities in the process," close quote. They added that neither of the people killed in Texas and Maine could be described as the, quote, "worst of the worst," and said that the American public deserves clarity and accountability. Speaking on MSNBC's Morning Joe, Senator King called for ICE to be held to the same standards as other law enforcement agencies.
Number one, let's get these body cameras on. It's ridiculous. With all the money they have all the money in the world under the appropriations that they've had. By the way, my Republican colleagues have now funded ICE to the end of Donald Trump's term. They've literally given up the power of the purse over ICE. And so things like body cameras, identifications, no masks, those are simple things that apply everywhere else in the country to police forces. That's number one.
Senators also demanded to know what changes are being made to the way immigration officers conduct traffic stops and vehicle pursuits. The fatal shootings in Maine and Houston both involved ICE officers firing at people inside vehicles. According to figures published by The Guardian, Joan Sebastian Duran Guerrero is the 5th person to be killed by ICE while driving a vehicle. At a confirmation hearing last week, Senator Richard Blumenthal asked the acting attorney general, formerly Donald Trump's personal attorney, Todd Blanche, what constitutes as an appropriate response from an officer.
One last question. Would you agree with me that agents of the United States should not fire into cars unless there is an imminent threat?
Give a short answer to that.
There's a well-established standard as to when an agent can discharge their firearm, and I think that's something that should be followed in every case.
And that includes not firing weapons into cars.
While Blanche was saved by the gavel, President Trump said on social media that vehicle stops should continue. Notably, Democrats had attempted to impose new requirements on ICE, but the dispute ended in a stalemate and a government shutdown. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer blamed Republicans for failing to enact reforms that he says could have prevented the recent deaths.
Where were Senate Republicans when Trump immediately reinstated the vehicle stops policy that led to these killings? Where were Senate Republicans when the administration said ICE agents had, quote, absolute immunity after the Minneapolis murders? Where were Senate Republicans when we gave them opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to reform ICE? There is blood on the streets, and the blame is on Senate Republicans.
Speaking from the Senate floor, Schumer called on President Trump to release any information the administration has about the recent shootings. He also criticized Republicans for failing to pass reforms and described the ICE killings as state-sanctioned violence. The Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights, or CHURLA, echoed that characterization as it denounced the fatal shootings, which occurred less than a week apart. Oscar Zarate, CHURLA's deputy director and coordinator of the Los Angeles Rapid Response Network, says ICE is, quote, terrorizing communities throughout the United States. He spoke with KPFA News and called for an end to what he describes as extrajudicial killings.
As most people know by now, the raids, at least the roving patrol style raids, began in earnest in June of last year in Los Angeles, right? And since then, we've seen this same type of hunting, I don't know how else to describe it, right, of community members, especially folks that work in some of our most crucial industries and professions, like street vendors, landscapers, people who play a vital role in sustaining not just the LA economy, but the California economy, the national economy. But apart from just being workers, they're human beings, they're fathers, sons, uncles. And not only are they being brutalized on the streets and apprehended unjustly and lawlessly, they're sent to detention camps where, as we've seen throughout the year, many, many people have gone ill, have disappeared, and have died ultimately at the hands of this federal government.
Following the shooting of Lorenzo Salgado Araujo by ICE, the nation's oldest Latino-American civil rights organization, LULAC, described ICE as, quote, having an open season on Latinos. And less than a week later, a 26-year-old Colombian man was shot in Maine. According to figures compiled by The Guardian, Johan Sebastian Guerrero was the 11th person fatally shot by federal immigration officials since Donald Trump began his second term. However, there may be additional cases that have not yet been accounted for. Your response?
Well, it's devastating to the community of Houston, to the larger community of immigrants and their families across the country. Again, the escalation of violence is unacceptable. We've been saying this for months, for the last year, that this agency, ICE CBP, is rogue and has no levers of accountability. Yet this Congress is choosing to continue investing millions, I think billions of funding into an agency that has no accountability to the general public. This is not public safety. This is not even law enforcement. It's just state-sanctioned violence to terrorize communities through fear, intimidation, and, as we can see, death. Then this is something that is not new in this country. We've seen this since the killings of George Floyd, right? The killings of so many names in our Black community, African-American community. This is not anything new. And it's not acceptable then, it's not acceptable now, it's not acceptable at any point. And we demand a full, independent, and transparent investigation onto what happened.
The World Organization Against Torture defines an extrajudicial killing as the deliberate killing of a person by someone acting in an official capacity without legal process. Share more on why Churla is using that term to describe these deaths.
It's because it's killings that are beyond the legal authority of ICE. They have no reason. I mean, they even admitted themselves that Lorenzo was not the person that they were targeting, right? And I think it just calls back to just how lawless this agency is conducting their business or the business of the people. And we have to name it because ICE, as we've seen before, will manipulate the facts to serve their purpose. And we cannot allow that to happen. We have to stand in the truth. We have to see things as they are. And what happened to Lorenzo is unjust, and not just unjust, unlawful. And that's, I think, why we're using the word extrajudicial.
And Oscar, I want to briefly note that immigration infractions are generally a civil violation, not criminal. That said, what concerns does it raise when an armed federal agency enforcing civil immigration law uses deadly force against people who may not even be criminal suspects?
No, Lauren, thank you for pointing that out, right? I think this federal administration has done an incredible job of making people think that all immigrants are somewhat criminals, which we all know is untrue, right? Even if you look at the data, most people that ICE is apprehending have no criminal charges or have been convicted of any criminal act. And as you pointed out, crossing the border without documentation is a civil infraction, right? It's not a crime. And I know that's something that a lot of people don't like to hear, that it's not a crime. And I think, again, it's done for the purpose of dehumanization. Going back to your earlier question, we have to name things as they are. That's the whole purpose of their propaganda and their spin, is to make us dehumanize our neighbors, dehumanize people that we share so much in common with, so that the violence that we're seeing somehow becomes normalized. And we have to resist that. We cannot normalize the violence. We have to say things as they are. These are extrajudicial killings, part of, or in the interest of, a federal government that wants to dehumanize our people.
And briefly on the question of criminality, according to the government's own data, fewer than 1% of people in ICE custody would be considered the so-called worst of the worst. Despite that, we have seen deadly encounters involving federal immigration agents from Los Angeles and Minneapolis to Houston and to Maine. What does meaningful accountability look like, and what is Churla calling for when it demands an end to what it describes as extrajudicial killings?
One, very immediately, we're calling, and I said this earlier, we're demanding a full, independent, and transparent investigation into these killings and accountability for every official responsible, right? Every official who was involved needs to be held accountable. We also demand ICE and immigration enforcement leave our communities immediately, period. They need to leave immediately. And then long-term, I think the only way to really rectify this structural issue that is resulting to the raids and to the killings is we need a pathway to citizenship. And we need something that permanently fixes what's happening here, so that no other administration, not just the Trump administration, but no other administration in the future can do what this one is doing now to our people. So that's why we're calling for a pathway to citizenship. And there is a bill now in Congress called the Registry Act. It's the same law that Ronald Reagan used to allow people to adjust their status back in the 1980s. It's the same law passed by Republicans, championed by Republicans. All we're saying is we need to update that date so that more people can adjust their status and this can never happen again.
We will continue to follow the Registry Act as it makes its way through Congress. Speaking of legislation, though, protesters in Maine have also demonstrated outside Republican Senator Susan Collins' office following the recent killings. Collins cast the deciding vote for the reconciliation bill that provided ICE with billions of dollars in unprecedented funding. To that point, How important are the upcoming elections in determining whether ICE's seemingly unchecked power is reined in?
I think every election matters, and the ones coming in November and all the way to 2028 matter even more. I think it's one way people can really express and course correct where this country is going and make sure that their disagreement to what's happening is known all over the country. And I think that this is a movement rooted in our love for our people, and that's what's really pushing us to not just vote, but also take action in the many different ways that we can.
That was Oscar Zarate, CHRLA's Deputy Director and Coordinator of the Los Angeles Rapid Response Network, speaking with KPFA News.